This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
All right, Michael, we're in the week. We start the Western Conference Finals on Wednesday, so we'll have a lot of hockey talk for you. We got to get into the MVP. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander did win his second in a row. Joker came in second place, sixth straight year for Joker, finishing in the top two, and yet the Nuggets only have one title to show for it. We got a lot of guests lined up for you today. We got Benjamin Albright. Let's talk a little more. Deep dive into the Broncos schedule. Also, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffaloes, the voice of the NCAA reason. All that and more. The whole show starts now. After the 11 o'clock hour, as we start this week's handful of shows on this Monday morning, you're listening to The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. I am Brady Hull. We've got deer hunter Michael Kirkpatrick on the other side of the bulletproof glass. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Mike, you ready to rock and roll, man? We got a lot to get to. Short time to do it.
I don't get the reference.
Deer hunter, you look like you're hunting. You're wearing your bright orange hoodie, and it looks like you're a hunter. Every time you wear that, I think you might be hunting at some point. But I don't think it's deer season, so
maybe it is. I don't know much about hunting.
I didn't think you did. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Yeah, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander wins his second MVP, second one in a row for him. He received 83 first place votes, and next in line was Joker. Nikola Jokic received 10. Wembanyama got 5. No votes for first place for Luka, 2 for Cade Cunningham. So it was a pretty clear runaway for SGA to win the MVP. And listen, I'm not fighting the battle, the campaign for Joker to win another MVP. He got hurt. He was out for like a month, and his team lost in the first round. And I know playoffs aren't supposed to be weighed in this discussion, but they were a four seed. It doesn't bother me anymore. It bothers me that Denver was a three seed. Excuse me. Shea didn't lead in any of the major categories. So that I suppose is what kind of bugs me the most, is what was he best in? I mean, Luka led in points per game. Joker led the league in rebounds per game. And he also led the league in assists per game. So I guess the Thunder were the number one seed, but I also look at the Thunder and I think, man, that team, now Shea is obviously tremendous. He's an amazing basketball player. But tell me honestly, Thunder fans, if you didn't have Shea on this team, are you still a playoff team? I think the answer is yes. Do you win a series without Shea? I think the answer is yes. They're making this kind of look easy. And we'll see how tonight goes. We start the Western Conference Finals between San Antonio and Oklahoma City. That's at 6:30 on NBC and or Peacock. But I don't know if the Thunder can beat San Antonio without Shea. But I think a case could be made for them to win a lot of basketball games without Shea. If you take Nikola Jokic off of the Nuggets, Mike, I don't think they're a playoff team. Certainly not this year. So what is the MVP? I always thought it was the most valuable player which is also translated to the most valuable player on your team. Hell, when Peyton Manning got hurt with the Colts his final year in Indianapolis, it was more of a comedic debate, but the fact that it was even out there in the world that Peyton Manning should be considered MVP because they're that bad without him. Now, it was obviously silly and that's crazy, but that's what the award is supposed to be. Who is the most valuable player to their team? Not necessarily the best player in the league. And I don't know that Shea can make that argument either, but I look at, obviously, the Lakers without Luka. Well, they won a series. They won a playoff series. Victor Wembanyama, that one's close. Spurs are still pretty good, but they might not win a series if Wemby is out. Obviously, when he was hurt, he had the concussion, and then I think he had the ejection early in a game. I believe they lost those two of those games, so you could make the argument that maybe the Spurs aren't a really good basketball team. But I would imagine Thunder fans, maybe not today, but throughout the season, felt pretty good about their entire roster. We have had a phrase here in Denver for the past however many seasons that we say jokerless minutes. That is a popular phrase in the NBA. It's not just a Nuggets thing. It's not just a local thing. When you watch the Nuggets nationally, you hear the broadcasters say something similar. How will the Nuggets do in the jokerless minutes? I don't know that it's as prominent with any other team. But I digress. It is what it is. I figured Shea was going to get it. I'm not sure the reasoning behind it, and the 83 votes is kind of wild to me. I thought it would be a little bit closer. Eastside Chris texting in on the First Advantage text line to get us started today. The MVP has become a point scoring leader, not an award for team play, assist, rebound, and scoring. Yeah, but if it is that award, then why is it that Shea Gilgeous-Alexander didn't lead in any of those categories throughout the regular season? If it really is a point, if it's a point thing, then that would go to Luka. If it's an assist thing, that would go to Joker. If it's a rebounds thing, that would go to Joker. If it's blocks, it would go to Victor. So, texter here, SGA will relinquish the trophy to Luka next year because it's his turn. Wemby will have to wait. If I'm the NBA, obviously in the offseason, I'm sitting down and I don't think Adam Silver will do this because he doesn't seem to think it's a priority. But I think you should have serious talks about how this game is being played. Now, there are games where I'm watching where I don't feel like the flopping is out of control and the complaining is out of control. But in the Thunder series against the Lakers, a lot of those games were sideshows. A lot of those games were jokes. If I'm the NBA, I'm sitting down saying we can't have flopping go on in the NBA the way it's going right now. We have to seriously alter how we officiate in a game. Will that affect Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and his game? The great ones adapt. I think he's a great player. He's probably an MVP-type player. And I think if he adapts to new rules, it would take some time. But he could definitely survive without flopping all the time. He could still be an MVP-caliber player. He just chooses not to. He takes advantage of the system, and that's, again, why I stress the fact I do not blame the players. They're taking advantage of this. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good, the Rockies got one. The Rockies got another win, Mike. We're at 18. 12 more to go till the Dirty 30. We can put it to rest. 12 more feels like 20 more at this point. I'm still very confident that the Rockies will get us to the 20 win mark by the end of the month, which is about 2 weeks. And then we'll be in the final countdown. We get down to the final 10, it becomes a reality. The bad for me is probably, it's not even necessarily that Shea is the MVP. It's just I don't love that he is a player that is now the poster child of flopping. You can argue with me all you want, but Every fan base outside of Oklahoma City shares the same sentiment, and so do the coaches, and so do the players. We've heard it more and more and more this year. I believe this has been the year of the vocal coach and vocal players. They have complained more about officiating and specifically about the Thunder than I've ever heard teams come right out front and say. This is bad. It's not a great look. We knew it was coming, so I reserved this take until today. But it's not a good look. Flopping's your biggest issue in the league, and Shea's your biggest flopper. That tells you all you need to know about the NBA's priorities right now. The ugly for me, I didn't watch this, but I had heard about it, Michael. Ronda Rousey made a comeback, and so did Gina Carano. Gina Carano was in The Mandalorian, Michael. She was in it for a hot minute before she started getting vocal about COVID, and then they kind of wrote her off. They didn't even really write her off. They just said bye-bye.
Yeah, she was also in Deadpool.
She was in, yeah, so she was kind of making a move. I don't know how great of an actor she was, but she was making a move, and then she got pretty vocal about the whole COVID thing.
And other things.
Yeah, but it was mainly COVID, from what I saw.
Yeah, that's what started it. Last I heard, she signed with a conservative movie studio.
Yeah, she
to
did.
Direct.
Yep. So Hollywood kind of moved on from her. So she makes a comeback. She lost 100 pounds to fight in this, to fight for 17 seconds. Ronda Rousey gets her down pretty quickly and gets her arm bar going, and that's it. So that's the ugly for me. It was on Netflix, so it wasn't like a pay-per-view. If you already had Netflix, then you watched it. You're already paying for Netflix, so it wasn't like an extra cost. But, I mean, I'll admit, the news feed, I was curious by this because Ronda Rousey's a gigantic name in sports, and I knew a little bit about Gina because of her short stint in Hollywood. So I thought it was kind of a fascinating story. Not fascinating enough for me to watch, but those people that were duped into believing, because this wasn't even like actually the UFC. It's a different brand of fighting. They don't fight in the octagon. They fight in the hexagon or whatever, and it was the Jake Paul guy doing this. There were millions of dollars on the table for, I mean, I think Gina walked away with $1 million. Ronda Rousey walked away with like $2 million for a 17-second fight. I mean, it's just big names that were big names a long time ago. Still big names today, and people really seem to like to see that, man. I mean, it's not just a fighting thing either. How many times when there is a coaching vacancy in the NFL do you hear this person's name? Bill Cowher. How many times do you hear? I think maybe finally we've died down on that because he's just getting to that point, but his name still comes up regularly because people just want, they remember what he was like several years ago, and they want to recapture that. They want to recapture it.
Yeah, but he had said he is happy in the studio. I remember every time the Broncos fired a coach, well,
Bill Cowher's name came up. Yep. And any coach. Anytime a coach is fired, Bill Cowher's name pops up. So it's just kind of human nature. Hell, we still talk about quarterbacks making a comeback. You know, guys that have been out of the league for a while. The Phillip Rivers thing. We wanted to eat that story up. Because maybe he wasn't the most popular guy, but it's still a tremendous story of perseverance and comeback, king, all that stuff. We want to see it. So, was I intrigued by this fight? Sure. Not enough. I'm not a real fight fan. I've ordered boxing fights before, Michael, and I've been screwed over in those times, so I don't do it anymore.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that over and over. You were very excited and then not excited anymore.
I ordered two fights in my life. One was, well, it wasn't me. It was my dad. But we got all pumped up to see Mike Tyson make a return against Lennox Lewis in the mid-90s. And so my dad invited a bunch of people over. You know, they were having a bunch of cold ones. We were doing nachos and burgers and all that stuff. It was an event. And I think it only lasted like three rounds. And everybody just kind of left early because it's like, well, what do we do now? And then my wife and I actually, this was a shocker, we're watching a movie on HBO, and then right after, a documentary on Manny Pacquiao as he's preparing to fight Floyd Mayweather Jr. came out. And, you know, Floyd was doing all the talking, and then we see Pacquiao, he's really community-driven and all that stuff, and it was kind of inspirational. So we were like, this is, wow, my dad's coming up tomorrow. Should we order the fight? So we did. $60, $70, I don't know. Order the fight. Boring. We kind of know Floyd Mayweather's a defensive fighter. Pacquiao wasn't throwing any punches. Find out later that Pacquiao had a bum shoulder. His shoulder was jacked up, and he knew it. So he takes the money. That's why boxing, fighting, UFC sometimes, I mean, I'm sure there's some amazing fights that happen, I'm sure, and I know that. But so much of that sport sometimes can be, I'm just here for the check. If I win, I win. If I lose, yeah, it's all the same to me because I'm going to make $1 million either way. So I don't know. It's just kind of a fascinating concept. And seeing, you know, as soon as Ronda Rousey was done, is there any chance you're going to keep fighting? No. I'm going to have babies now. This was a quick way to make some cash. I looked at the two fighters back-to-back when they were measuring up and doing their weight and all that stuff. Rousey still looks like she can kick a lot of people's butt. Gina Carano lost a lot of weight. Good for her. She did not really look like a fighter, though. I mean, she looked more like a model. And Rousey looked like a fighter.
Yeah, I think Gina, I think that was a mistake for her.
You made $1 million.
Well, yeah, that's true. But a lot of times when you see someone lose a lot of weight, and that's a lot of
weight. It's a lot of weight.
You gotta lose that weight and then train at that weight.
Oh, I'm sure she was training and stuff, but I bet you back there in the corner of her mind, she knew what it was. I'm going to lose this fight. But I'm going to get $1 million. Like he said, Chris says, I'd take a dive for $1 million and get beat up by a lady. I don't think any of us would be taking a dive against Ronda Rousey. She would force us to dive.
No, I would take a dive. I would say, look, don't hurt me. Just make it look like you hurt me, but I don't want the pain.
Well, you signed up for the fight. You got to at least try. Although Gina didn't really do much. 17 seconds, Mike. It was over before it started.
I didn't even know the contest was happening.
Yeah, it happened over the weekend. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Big Hub says it's a money scheme. I'm no longer watching fights of older fighters. Well, that's the thing. I was joining Good Morning NoCo, Brian and his friend Tanner, on the show. And, you know, we like big names. And this isn't just something that's a UFC thing. Mike, I know you're going to make fun of me, but the WWF, when it purchased the WCW and then became the WWE, and it was like 10 years after that, they had the NWO, Hulk Hogan, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, go up and fight D-Generation X, X-Pac, Road Dogg, Jesse James, Badass Billy Gunn, and Triple H. And I'm watching the dudes walk down the ramp, and they barely make it down the ramp. And the broadcaster's like, this is the fight we all wanted. Maybe 20 years later, but it's better than nothing. We just love the names. There's guys that just keep making comebacks and keep playing. We love it in all of our sports. Hell, we love it. We love it in movies, too. It's just part of it.
I mean, Floyd Mayweather came out of retirement to fight Jake Paul.
Well, didn't he also fight Conor McGregor, too, who's also making his return? That was announced over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, like all these older guys. Mike Tyson came out of retirement to fight Jake Paul. And that one, I did watch that one. I kind of wanted to see Mike Tyson, and he was not in fighting shape.
No. We want to recapture it, but you just can't. Aaron says, when I see these older fighters returning for these paycheck fights, it reminds me that movie Stallone and De Niro did a while back. What movie was that? Is that a sports movie we should probably be thinking about, Michael, for Brady and Michael review movies during the sports because there's not as much during the summer because there's not as much sports going on in the summer segment on
KK? Well, I don't know this. I know that Stallone did a movie where he was like, it was like Rocky 6, where he was like super old and he fought.
And isn't that kind of the thing?
That one was terrible.
They've made a ton of Rocky movies. And even though they started in the 80s, we still want to see them today. If a Rocky movie were coming out today with Sylvester Stallone, people would still eat that up because they love it. He's the name. 24
the Bull
minutes.
Is one that we should consider.
Raging Bull?
Yeah, Raging Bull.
Raging Bull. Is that the one?
I think that's the one.
I actually did see it. It's been a long time, so I couldn't give you the synopsis of it. We're going to take a quick break here. Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk more in depth about the Broncos schedule. How does he feel about those first six games? It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Avalanche in the playoffs is no small thing. Just how far will they go? Hear Avs games and coverage on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, coming up after the break, we're going to have Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight, join us. Let's talk more about that schedule. I know we went into depth on Friday, but I want to get his thoughts, especially that those first six games are going to be very difficult for the Broncos. If they can survive that, then yeah, I would imagine they're going to be a deep playoff team. They're going to be poised to make another playoff run. So we'll get into that with Benjamin coming up here in just a moment. Top stories of the day, Coach Prime, very vocal over the weekend. Also, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, will join me. I've got some more fascinating stories coming out of the NCAA, specifically talking about the NIL deals that aren't going to happen. So we'll get to that. Also, a clip of the day a little bit later on, shaking hands. When is it a bad thing? 30 minutes after the hour, Benjamin Albright going to join us next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to The Whole Show on KFK.
Joining us now on the First Advantage hotline of Broncos Country Tonight, Benjamin Albright. And Benjamin, it never ceases to amaze me just how powerful the NFL is, and this something as simple as releasing a schedule of teams we already know they're going to play, but just giving us the dates and times and all that has become a monster thing now. Not just the show itself, but the teams doing their own release videos. The NFL created yet another holiday. It's wild to me, and so I got nothing but respect for it, though.
Well, yeah. Anytime you have the opportunity to get a memo from the league telling you they're going to pull your credentials if you leak any more stuff ahead of time with regard to the schedule, you realize you've run up against a buzzsaw. It's weird because this is a thing, like, we know who they're playing. The only thing we didn't know is when they're playing, and they turn it into this state secret, you know, sort of deal, and it's fascinating how every little thing with the NFL is marketable at that level.
Did you happen to watch any of the release videos from other teams, Benjamin? I'm sure you did. You watched a few, right?
I really have not.
Really?
I tend to avoid that stuff. Since I get the schedule a little early, it's just me sitting on it, that kind of thing. And so I tend to avoid all that kind of stuff. I need a few days vacation from the from the run-up to it. As I have to sit there and, like I said, sit on it like it's some state secret or whatever.
How is that process? So when you get this information early, like, how serious is they give it to you, but it's like, hey, here it is. If you screw up, here's what's going to happen. Can you divulge? Can you tell us a little bit about that? Or is that also top secret, Benjamin?
Well, if I got it from the league or from teams, then I would be beholden to that. I get it through back channels. I don't really want to get too far into that process or whatever, but I've got somebody that hooks me up. And, you know, at the end of the day, then what happens is the team calls me and they're like, please don't release this. And then the league will send me an email like, we will take away your right to go to the combine if you release the, you know, that kind of stuff, doing the little finger wag. So, you know, that part of it, you know, kind of is what it is. What do I do with it? Well, I mean, here at KOA, we're the Broncos partners, so we get all our stories and graphics and travel booked and all that kind of stuff ahead of time. Once that's done, then I tend to leak it to a few of my friends, yourself included. You got it a little bit early this year.
I did. I was very honored, by the way.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not saying you shouldn't be.
I was. I wanted to release it so badly, Ben. I was like, here we go. I have the scoop. I have the gold right here. But I didn't do it, you know, because I didn't want you to hurt me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it may be a mean glare, you know, at that point.
No, I appreciate it, bro.
Yeah, I tend to, like I said, I tend to give it to my friends, and then the day of, I'll give it to my friends as well. And so that's, you know, just so they can be prepared and everything else.
Benjamin, Colin Cowherd seems to think the NFL has it out for Sean Payton, and that's why the first six games are the first six games: Chiefs, Jags, Rams, Niners, Chargers, and Seahawks.
Well, the next time Colin Cowherd is right about something, it'll be the first time Colin Cowherd was right about something. You know, you figure with a last name like that, he should be in herding cattle and not not talking about the NFL. The NFL does not have some sort of bias against Sean Payton. That is not a thing. If anything, the NFL helped cover up some of the Saints scandals that he had. It went well beyond Bounty Gate. I mean, there was Pillgate. Him and Joe Vitt were under investigation for stealing pills out of the team's medicine cabinet. That got kind of covered up. You know, as far as that kind of stuff goes, the NFL uses AI to optimize schedules early in the season to try to maximize ratings. So that's why you get front-end schedules that seem sort of tough with that kind of stuff with marquee teams. And the Denver is now a marquee team. They won a lot of games last year. They got a young quarterback. They're considered a draw. And so, you know, the idea that the NFL's punishing the Denver Broncos or Sean Payton or whatever is stupid. It's really just they used AI to try to generate ratings matchups early in the season, and that's what you got, good teams against good teams.
Yeah, well, and that's I guess the way I look at it, and this is probably the wrong way to look at it, you got to play them anyway.
Right.
So if that's going to be six losses, is it going to be six losses right off the bat, or is it going to be six losses scattered throughout the season and then you win the rest, whatever happens? But I don't know. It's just weird to me.
Yeah, it's funny because if those had all been at the end of the season, you'd have the exact same complainers saying the NFL is biased against the Broncos. Look what they did before the playoffs, is stack up all these losses and beat us up. So it's the same built-in conspiracy nonsense you get all the time.
All right, first game is going to be that first Monday night game. Does that tell us? I mean, you just talked about AI generating the biggest games of interest. Well, obviously that game's not as interesting if Patrick Mahomes isn't playing in that game. So is the NFL making phone calls to Kansas City? Hey, are we sure? How sure are you guys that Mahomes is going to be ready by September 14th?
Oh, yeah. And they believe that he is. Kansas City believes that he is. The NFL believes he's going to be ready. So that would be a phenomenal recovery time. I mean, that would be a very accelerated recovery time. But they currently believe that he's on track to make that. Now, what his level of ability will be at that point is probably up for debate. But I tend to believe he's going to be the starting quarterback unless he has a setback between now and then.
And how about the other quarterback, Bo Nix? We've talked a lot about that ankle over the last few months, Benjamin, even though Bo probably doesn't want Sean Payton talking about that ankle or any of us. How serious is this thing?
Well, he had a little bit of a setback, and they're trying to pretend like it's all, you know, something that was scheduled and all that. I broke that story during the draft, and Sean Payton straight up lied to the media. I mean, just outright lied, pure fiction, saying that nothing had happened. And then all of a sudden, yeah, something did happen, except that it was scheduled and we knew about it and all this kind of stuff. The reality is Bo had to pull out of the coaching the Oregon spring game to go get some work done on his ankle because of a little discomfort or whatever. Still on track to be ready by OTAs, and that discomfort is a normal part of the process, but the Broncos really botched the response on that one, and it made it look like something that was a bigger deal than it was.
Yeah, I think the whole process has just made it seem a lot worse. From the beginning of this, when Sean's talking about it, he's saying things like predisposed, and then Bo does his... how that went down, too. Bo having another follow-up press conference to basically say, Sean, keep my ankle's name out of your mouth. That whole, from start to where we are now, it just seems like the more they talk about it, the worse it looks.
Yeah, it's fascinating because, you know, Bo had to go full Will Smith on Chris Rock, Sean Payton there, about the ankle and everything. And it was one of those things, like Sean, you know how Sean is. He gets a little over his skis sometimes and talking about things. And, you know, Sean, I don't want to say one of the worst things to ever happen to him, but one of the worst things to happen was, you know, he won that Super Bowl that early in a city that was starving for it like New Orleans. And so he kind of got this complex that he can do no wrong. He's God. He can talk to the media any way he wants. And that may have worked down there in New Orleans where they owed him. You know, he brought a Super Bowl to a long-suffering franchise, all that kind of stuff. You're here in Denver, brother. They got six Super Bowls without you. Nobody here owes you anything. And so that's sort of, I think, a realization that he came to after kind of running his mouth about the Bo thing. It's like, wait a minute. You know, we started winning again, could post Nate Hackett, but this city does not hold me in the same reverence that that New Orleans did. I probably need to dial it back a little bit.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Have you done a deep dive as far as, you know, research on this schedule, where you think they finish? Obviously, it's a much more difficult schedule than last season. I don't think the Broncos are going to be able to wait until the fourth quarter on a lot of these football games coming up. That all being said, how do you like the Broncos' chances of not only returning to the playoffs, but potentially getting a high seed going deep? What do you think of this schedule?
Well, it's tough. I have them this year as a wild card team. I think they could be almost a better football team in terms of not having to have last second comebacks and all that kind of stuff and still finish with a worse record just because of the nature of the opponents that they're up against. You start the season off, first six games are brutal, last three games are brutal, and then you've got kind of a pretty easy stretch there in the middle, which is kind of nice. There are five teams in the NFL this year that don't have a primetime game because the league thinks they're going to stink. The Broncos play four of them five times. You know, you get the Raiders, you get the Cardinals, you get the Jets, and I'm missing one in there somewhere. The only one they don't play is the Titans. The Dolphins, they play the Dolphins. The only one they don't play is the Titans. So there's a pretty soft, you know, kind of hollowed out middle of the schedule. I got them at 10-7. Now they could do better than that. I think you got to get through week seven being 3 or 4 or better. I'm not saying they'll be 3 or 4, 3 and 4, but if you get to week seven at 3 and 4 or better, you're going to make the playoffs just based on the schedule.
Yeah, it's kind of, I'm flirting with that 9 or 10 mark. It seems like, and again, if you can survive that first six, then like you said, the rest of the schedule kind of smooths out. And you know, that obviously there's teams that might pop up that are better than we thought they were going to be. One of those might be the Las Vegas Raiders this year.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be the Raiders. So not the dash dreams of Raiders fans. I mean, I honestly, I don't think Mendoza is going to start the season. I think they really want to slow play him. They know that this is year one of building that thing to where they want to build it. And I don't think Mendoza even starts until midway through the season. We'll see. I mean, it's entirely possible they could start the season with him. But they brought in Kirk Cousins with the intention of Cousins starting the season and eventually giving way to Mendoza. So we'll see. We'll see how that shakes out for him. Some of these other teams, I mean, I mentioned a bunch of teams in the middle of the season. You know, Arizona's not going to be good. Miami's going to be laughably bad. Those teams are going to be – you have to win those games. The Jets, they're not going to be good. I don't think that's it. If you're looking for up-and-comer teams that maybe weren't as good last year, New Orleans is one that jumps out at me. And then, you know, the other reason that I have the Broncos at 10-7, the Chargers are going to be better. In fact, I think the Chargers are the team to beat in the West this year. I'm not buying Kansas City, you know, being a year older, Mahomes coming off the injury, all that. I think the Broncos' main competition is the Chargers, who got a lot better on the offensive line. And, oh, by the way, that line gets healthy. You got Mike McDaniel as OC. The big question mark for the Chargers on defense with Jesse Minter gone, how that first-time NFL DC is going to look.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to ask you, you know, as far as the biggest competition for the Broncos, not just in the West, but on that schedule, who's the best team? The Broncos, I mean, you got obviously the defending Super Bowl champs on there. You got the Seahawks, but I tend to kind of lean in on that Chargers thing. I think they're going to be dangerous. But who is the best team as we sit here on May 18th?
The Chargers, Seahawks, you mentioned those two. That's up there. I think Buffalo is really kind of the moves that they made is kind of signaling like they believe this is their year. They're kind of the Saints northeast or the Broncos northeast now with Pete Carmichael and Jim Leonard being the offensive and defensive coordinators and Joe Brady, a former Sean Payton assistant, you know, being the head coach. So Buffalo and the Broncos have kind of gone head to head over the last couple of years, and you know it's been a back back and forth. I think they're the team to watch out for. This kind of feels like their year if they stay healthy.
Benjamin, you mentioned the primetime games for the Broncos. Obviously, the two of them that really stick out is you got the Black Friday game, and of course you got Christmas again. So both of those ones certainly will be interesting. But that Christmas game against Buffalo at that stage in the season should probably be must-see television.
Yeah, it should be. Those last three games for the Broncos look pretty tough, and you could wind up with a week 18 Chargers coming here brawl for it all kind of thing. But you've got Buffalo, New England, and the Chargers back-to-back-to-back. Two of those games at home, though, Buffalo and the Chargers here, so that's at least a send there. And then, like you said, you got Black Friday at Pittsburgh, you got Christmas at here against Buffalo. My favorite thing about my favorite things are about working on Black Friday at Christmas.
Go on.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it's not fun, man. I'm glad I'm not in your shoes when it comes to that, man, because being at home Christmas time and then turning on the game is a little bit easier than an entire day dedicated to it.
Yeah, and I really feel bad. I think I'm complaining about it, but I really feel bad for the unsung heroes, the producers and all that, because those guys got to be there super early in the morning to do all that. They've got it worse than I do. So, shout out to all the board ops and producers out there who have to who make this stuff possible.
Benjamin, how far are we going to take all this? Because, now you got the Black Friday game. That's a thing. We keep moving games around eventually. And I don't know if if mathematically you could have more games throughout the week, but do you see the NFL making crazier changes where we might even have a Wednesday game at one point, or more Wednesday games?
Well, 100%. And I mean, they're trying to sell all these different packages. The NFL was trying to sell the Netflix on taking all the early Sunday games, the international package, and Netflix didn't want any part of that. They want they want events like Christmas and that kind of stuff. You mentioned Black Friday. I think Trump's trying to get them to call it White Friday. I don't know, whatever. But as far as this goes, yeah, you're going to see the NFL try to monopolize this stuff as much as possible. They're going to opt out of the broadcast rights deal in 2029, and it's going to be, it's going to be problematic for fans who want access to every game, because now it's not like Sunday Ticket where, you had it all in one place and you could do that. You got to subscribe to all these streamers, and the cost is getting out of control, and the league says it doesn't see a problem because of ratings, but anecdotally, fans are telling me they're reaching the breaking point on this stuff, and they don't want to be spending on 15 different streaming services just to try to get every game.
Yeah, it's frustrating. And I actually have all of these streaming services, but I'm old and I like to be able to press the simple recall button. I you don't get it. You have to get in the app, get out of the app. If there's other things going on, those are the days I miss. Those were great. You turn the TV on, it's on quickly. Now you got to wait for the smart TV to think. And okay. I get them complaining about a luxury there, but at the same time, it's made it easier.
We've gone full circle, though. Gone full circle, because now you're waiting for the TV to sync. Previously, you used to have to wait for the cathode ray tube to warm up, and then you had to click the clicker over to the channel. You had to adjust the bunny ears with the foil on it. So we've just come full circle.
Yeah, we're right back to waiting, and you got to love that. Benjamin, always appreciate your time, my friend. I'm looking forward to it. Either way, it's going to be a very entertaining season, and hopefully the Broncos can make that return to the playoffs.
That it is. Looking forward to it, Brady.
All right, my friend. Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. He's sitting on the 10, Mike. That's kind of where I'm sitting. Sitting on the 10.
Well, you guys are seven short.
Yeah, I know. That's not real. I mean, I appreciate you going through that exercise with us on Friday where you just picked the Broncos to win every single game. One of these years it might hit, but historically speaking, I don't think that looks good for you.
I have been going through the schedule, and I do have all these streaming services. Don't know what's going on the last two weeks, but
yeah, we don't know yet. They're flex games, so we don't even know New England game and the Chargers game.
My wonder is if these games are on Peacock. I'm going to have to make a friend.
And we know how difficult that's been since Jimmy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had several friends, but I mean,
okay.
I don't want to have to go outside.
Why would you have to go outside to meet
friends?
Well,
you have to go outside
to meet friends. Okay.
To go to someone else's house.
Ah, all right. 11:51 the time. We'll take a quick break here. I'll wrap up hour number one. We've got top stories of the day. The CSC is, they are practicing what they said they were going to preach, man. A lot of NIL dollars being turned away. Coach Prime in the news as well. And Mark Johnson is going to join us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Keep it here on the whole show. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Congratulations to Coach Bruce Dick on winning the Colorado High School Coaches Association 2026 Media Award. Hear Coach speak with Bruce Dick, weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, coming up in the 12 o'clock hour, we got top stories of the day. Mark Johnson is going to join us. Always a great segment with him. But I want to talk about the Nuggets, too. It's just a sad reminder. I mean, again, looking at this, Joker, sixth straight year finishing in the top two. Either MVP or runner-up. And you got one title to show for it. And I'm still confused by the direction the Nuggets may or may not be going. Will Aaron Gordon and Jamal Murray or one or both be gone next season? All that. Well, I want to get into some of that a little bit later on in the show. College sports news as well. Keep it here on the program. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.